it's time for a bonus. A bonus episode. I love episodes of theater. We're going off the beaten path.
Off the beaten path.
We're off.
Y'all.
Well, hey.
Welcome. Welcome to Theater, the theater podcast for theater nerds made by three theater makers from the LA theater scene. I'm J. Bailey Bertram.
I'm CJ Merriman.
And I'm Scott Leggett.
That's right. And each week we get together and we discuss and we debate the definition of theater through various lenses. But this is a bonus episode. And we're going to be doing one of these every other week through all of June.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's Fringe time, everybody.
Oh, it's my God.
Wonderful time of the year.
Hollywood.
It's the most stressful time of the year.
It is, and y'all sort of went ham this year. You guys are performing in multiple things. You're judging multiple awards. Y'all are nuts.
No, we're dumb. Well, we also don't have a baby.
You don't have a baby. That's true, but I kind of overpromised myself, too. I'm doing two awards, and I directed a show. So we all overpromised ourselves.
Yes,
plus
yes.
Grogu. So
plus Grogu,
who loves child. Jesus Christ Superstar.
That's
which
true.
Makes me so happy.
We sang through the entirety. I have the record of the original motion picture soundtrack of Jesus Christ Superstar.
The only one to listen to.
Correct. Well. And the Carl Anderson one. And we put it on and we sang through the entirety of it. And I'm telling you, heaven on their minds got her jacked up. She was like, yeah, she was all in. It was a blast. We had a whole dance party. He is dangerous. She liked the low stuff. She loves that stuff.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
That's so cute. I love it so much.
Yeah, it was a blast. But speaking of blasts, this is our first Fringe blast.
Fringe edition.
Fringe edition. We're going to do one of these every other week. I said that. And we're just going to talk about the things that we're excited about, the things that we're seeing. We are hosting an award this year. Just like we did last year for the first time, this is our second annual Playwright Award, the Theater Playwriting Award.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes to someone that we feel like is presenting a script that could potentially take them to the level of the great playwrights that we cover on this podcast. Right? That's kind of the gist.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so
last year we did great.
Yeah.
Last year we did pretty good.
We did. I think we saw 30-something shows last year.
I think, yeah, that sounds right.
Between the three of us? Yeah. That sounds about right.
And I think we're seeing more than that this year.
Oh, my God. Oh, God. Oh.
Even with harder parameters this year.
That's true. We got a little more strict because we're not doing solo shows or musicals this year. Last year we saw a lot of phenomenal solo shows. And we even nominated three of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, we were into them, but we saw so many of them, and we started realizing, like, wait, we're kind of more about script and dialogue and less about, like, performance. And solo shows do tend to be more about the person's performance. Mm-hmm. We want to judge more the dialogue, the script, the characters, the stakes that are built between them. And we just figured that's a little easier to do when we're dealing with more than one person on stage.
Totally. Yep. Absolutely.
Cool.
Absolutely.
Glad we all agree on that.
Yes.
Well, I think we agreed several months ago, but
no, you're right.
Yeah, but yeah. Point taken.
Yeah. But is there, okay, so there's a lot of things going on. I want to start with this one because last year, our winner, Maddox Pennington, had a show called Love Chicken.
Yeah.
That also won some other awards. It was an incredible script, but also performance and direction.
Yeah.
We had a great time.
Lovely.
They have another show this year. We read it and covered it on this podcast when Maddox won. It's called Annex. So you can go back and listen to our discussion about it, or wait, go see it, and then listen to our discussion about it. But I'm so pumped.
It really excited.
Someone in it who was one of our other nominees last year.
Yeah.
Pastiche Queen, which
Pastiche.
Is amazing. And they all kind of found each other through being nominated together. So it's very exciting.
It's thanks to us.
It's our doing.
Right. It's well,
you're welcome, Maddox and Pastiche Queen.
If we can bring those two humans together alone, then we're pretty badass. We did pretty good.
I might be talking. I could be wrong. Maybe they knew each other before. No,
we're
going to
say this is the truth we're going to put out there. So okay, that in 10 years when they're winning Tonys,
yep,
we can say, yeah, that was us.
Well, yeah, I mean, but people can also say that, you know, they know us because we technically have a Tony.
Yes.
Well, yes.
That's
true.
Yeah.
Yes. Technically. Like,
technically, we have
technically, if you go three layers deep, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. If you want to understand that, go back and listen to our last episode, American Utopia, where we actually talk about it. Pasadena Playhouse has a Tony. Okay. Now. Annex is what I'm most excited about. I think that's my number one this year that I'm just so pumped to see. And then we have so many more things to see. But I'm going to pass it on. What are y'all excited about? Siege? You got some, right?
Yes. So I went to a mixer at the Broadwater last Friday, and these folks came over and handed me their postcard. It's called Sound Trip.
Hmm.
Two willing audience members will be invited to the stage for each episode. Through their headphones, they'll hear the dialogue, inner thoughts, and physical cues of the characters they're playing, all in real time. And beyond the stage, even as an observer, you get to select a character track to listen along with, giving you a front row seat to the inner thoughts and feelings of the characters on stage. Each episode has been written, scored, and performed by award-winning Hollywood artists.
Ooh,
that's cool.
It's in the Broadwater Black Box, and by the time this airs, the show will already be opened. So Sound Trip, y'all, one word.
Sound wow. Trip, yeah. I got to meet those guys as they were coming in and looking for spaces, and it's just a cool as shit concept, and I'm really stoked about it.
That does sound cool.
I've been looking at a lot of posters, trying to glean stuff from posters and
I like
artwork.
A good poster.
I love a good poster, so I'm just going to shout out a couple that I just, there's one called Sick that's going to be at the Broadwater.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And look it up. It's a cool poster. I don't really know anything else.
Okay.
I've got a list of other shows that we'll talk about in a minute, but these are posters that I really dig. The next one is, he doesn't need any hyping at all, but Brendan Hunt from Ted Lasso is doing two shows. He's doing his 5 years in Amsterdam, which he won the Aspen Comedy Festival with many years ago. He's doing that, but he is also doing a solo show of new material called The Movement You Need. And it is a simple homage to the Beatles' White Album, and The Movement You Need is on your shoulder. So I'm into that. And then
Coach
Beard himself. Yeah. Come on out. 5 years in Amsterdam and The Movement You Need. And then I'm going to bastardize this, but it's a beautiful poster. So please forgive my mispronunciation if I do. Yoniki Kahanaya is a show that's coming that's directed by Marianne Davis, who is a former Sacred Fool who also does.
Right.
Yeah, summer camp. She's a wonderful teacher and director. But the cast of this was drinking the other day at the bar, and they were just had an amazing energy, like that energy that you love to catch while at Fringe. Like we're 20 something. We're gonna go do this, but it's just a gorgeous poster. And so those are my.
We'll put the name of it in the show notes so people can actually search it.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. But yeah, that's some of the stuff that I'm, you know, I've got to be honest, I'm just kind of now dipping my toe. I have Annex on my list. There's a couple other friends shows on my list. And but I'm just now kind of, and then we're meeting Friday to start doing our Rubik's Cube schedule.
Build our schedule of seeing everything. It's going to be crazy. Last one I wanted to shout out that I remembered is Miles Berman, friend of the pod. Great stage manager, and I believe acts as well, and you know, is just
and a director.
Overall,
I think
great dude.
Yeah.
Oh, is he direct? Great. Yeah. And he is doing a show called Waiting for the Show.
Yes.
Is that what it's called?
The show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it's from the perspective of a stage manager trying to get the show to go up and like ends up taking over the show because the actor's not there. So I don't know. I actually don't know. But check it out.
Yes.
We'll see that one, obviously. That's at the Broadwater main stage?
Yeah.
Yes.
Damn.
Dude.
One man show in the main stage. I can dig it. That's nice. That's dope. All right, Siege, you got some other ones, right? What
yes,
else?
Yes, yes. I have Lebanese Debutante. This is a solo show. Also, thank you to Scott Golden, who sent us some of these recommendations, because he's been doing PR for some of these folks.
And we should say real quick, sorry to interrupt, but that Scott Golden, yeah, friend of the pod, is directing Miles' show.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
So, we're all connected.
He's the mayor of Fringe, basically, Scott Golden. Okay, so Lebanese debutante. Christine Farah shares a personal coming-of-age story set in the 90s Southern California through a familiar rite of passage, one's debut to the high society of Arab Christians. A little bit My So-Called Life, a little bit My Big Fat Greek Wedding, and a little Bridgerton. Lebanese debutante weaves themes of womanhood, culture, religion, and sexuality set in the last decade of digital innocence. This is actually opening Monday the 5th at 9:30 p.m. and it's at the Broadwater Second Stage. Lebanese debutante.
My So-Called Life, My Big Fat Greek Wedding, and Bridgerton.
Yeah.
What a fucking Venn diagram of craziness. Okay, great. I can't wait. What else?
And the last one I have is a synopsis featuring Loretta. Loretta is young, beautiful, and in need of a lot of money. Enter Michael, aspiring pornographer who wants to hire her. But Dave wants to protect Loretta or maybe star in the film with her. Then there's Sophie. She wants to change Loretta's mind. Loretta leaves her family after her husband died in search of a job to stand on her own feet. That is at the Asylum at the Stephanie Fury Studio Theater?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's a cute little studio theater. I like it. I think it's for educational purposes, right? But it's cute.
They're cool looking setups. I saw one show there last year on Melrose. Yeah. But it's opening Thursday the 8th at 8:30 p.m. That's the preview.
Love it. Love it.
Featuring Loretta.
You got anything else? You got more?
I've got some honorable mentions.
Get them out there.
Things that I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to Under the Influence. It's written by Pam, our very own Pam. It's going to be in the studio theater.
That's right. Pam Quinn, who has been on many of our episodes and writes our bonus episode song that you heard at the beginning of this episode.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And also used to write songs for every miniseries that we would do and things like that. It got a little intense to keep doing that. But she did a good job for about 3 years. She did.
Uh-huh. Yeah, she did.
And then also she has Under the Influence, which is a play she wrote. It's directed by Lucas Alifano.
Yes.
Who on TikTok you may know as Earl of Dad Jokes. He tells dad jokes and just laughs at them and has a million followers for it. It's amazing because people love his energy. And then he and Pam are both in the cabaret that I directed.
Yes.
At Three of Clubs, which is called School for Love. And
I can't
haven't
wait
been
to see
shouting
it.
That out. But I should be, and I'm sorry. But now I'm shouting it out.
Now you're
School for
it.
Love. It's a really fun cabaret starring five incredible singers, and they do every song from every genre. There's Sinatra, there's Lizzo, there's musical theater. They do a song from Heathers. It rules. It's a great time. So come see School for Love. But Under the Influence and School for Love are kind of sister shows because Pam is producing both of them. So I just wanted to get that out there. Okay, what else?
Yes. Losing Your Humanity, a zombie musical. It's going to be at the Blackwater Second Stage. And a good friend of the pod, Sam Barrios, is in it.
Oh, fine.
So
cool.
Definitely excited to see that. And then finally, I have Hedda Gabler. It's the Attic Collective. It's going to be, and they always do interesting, cool stuff. And that's going to be at the main stage, too.
Great. Yeah, it's a tight, cool group of folks that are doing that, Hedda Gabler. And I'm excited to see it. It's going to be on the main stage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Here are a couple of the shout outs that I have. I have Homeless Romantic.
Okay.
In May of 2013, Tony Bartoloni found himself without a place to live. For the next 8 years, he rode the bus around L.A., stayed in alternate living situations, and all the while continued performing stand-up comedy. This solo show is the culmination of that struggle to survive in modern America and the crazy characters you might meet along the way. Again, that's a solo show. That's going to also be at the Asylum in the Kansas Room. And go check that one out. Cool. Next up, I've got The Arsonist of Venice, which is co-directed by friend of the pod, Michael Shaw Fisher.
Yeah.
Fun.
And yeah, and this sounds very much like him. So just out of prison for a string of inexplicable arsons, a celebrated novelist returns home to Venice, California, with a dark and singular goal. So it's, I'm going to leave it at that.
It does sound very Fisher.
Right, very Fisher, but I think he just directed it. That's at the Broadwater Second Stage, and go check that out. And then I've got one more, right? Cherry. I have Cherry. Yes. It's 2008, and 13-year-old Sarah is watching MTV when Katy Perry's I Kissed a Girl comes on, and her obsession with Katy begins.
Oh,
on a cloud of cotton candy, Cherry takes you on an intimate bubblegum pop journey from fangirl, Sarah's awkward teenage years, to discovering the power of Katy Perry's music, to ultimately becoming a confident bisexual woman.
Yes.
And on the way invites each one of us to embrace who we fully are.
Yes. One of our bye babies.
It's a two-person show from Australia, also at the Asylum.
Hell yeah. I also I have a legitimate question for you guys.
Yes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I want you to take this seriously.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Do you ever feel like a plastic bag?
Always.
Okay. Like American Beauty? Is that what you're talking about?
Sure. Yes, that. Yes, it's a beautiful thing.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah. I thought you were going to ask me what my favorite Katy Perry song was, and I was excited.
Well, what is it?
It's Roar.
Duh. Fireworks is not a good song, in my opinion, compared to like the rest of her canon. It's like fine, but that's the one everyone always goes to, and I'm like, come on, Roar, Kissed a Girl.
No, you're right. You're not wrong.
Don't be upset, Bailey.
I'm upset.
Yeah.
We love Katy Perry on this podcast and otherwise. Is that all? Is that all we need to shout out?
We should shout out our stuff.
Your shows,
I guess.
Of course.
Okay,
so
we'll start with Raise Your Hand from the Dead.
Hello.
At Sacred Fools, written by friend of the pod, Natalie Nicole Dressel, directed by friend of the pod, Jay Dutcher.
Past and future guests who are actually on our very last episode.
Yes.
CJ and I are in it and producing it together. And it's just a great group of folks. It's a fun, funny B-movie spoof with a lot of heart and some cool stuff.
A lot of Natalie jokes.
Honest, it probably would have won or at least gotten into finals of serial killers before COVID hit.
Right. Yeah. It was
probably.
It was,
so it's kind of it's.
We're getting
this
to finish the story.
It stopped
it's
in the middle. Yeah. After all these years, we get to come back
because it was on a run. It was on its like seventh week.
Yeah, we
or
were.
Something.
Yeah.
It wasn't was, it that it, far?
I can't remember.
Fifth or sixth, I think. Actually.
Oh, okay. But even so, I just remember being like, "Damn, it's still going." Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
So we got that. And then I am doing a two-hander called If I'm Good by Ronnie Larson.
Pumped about this one.
Staging it and acting alongside an old friend, Nedra Gallegos. We attended Penn State together. And it's written by Ronnie Larson, and it's a play about the division in this country and how we got here in the wake of COVID. And it's about how rage can consume us. It is an intense affair, but at only 42 minutes long. You're in and you're out, and I scream and yell.
Love
a lot.
That.
That's
run
another
time.
Thing I should say. The School for Love Cabaret at Three Clubs is an hour long.
Boom.
It's real tight. It's real nice. It's
tight, yes.
And it tells a story. It's not just people singing. There's a whole storyline.
Anyway,
we're pumped about Scott's show. That's going to be awesome. It's all what? What's it called again?
If I'm good.
I always want to say it's all good. It's not all good.
It's all good.
It's not all good.
It's also all good? Nah, I don't know.
I'm
good.
And then CJ, are you involved in any other shows? Is that it?
That's it. I've just got Raise Your Hand. I've got something else coming up. That's not Fringe related.
What is
that? She LA. That's mid-July. We're doing There's Evil in This House. Bailey, you're involved with that. Yeah. That's what I've got coming up. I was supposed to do choreography for something for Fringe, but I haven't heard anything back from the director, so I guess
sounds
I'm
like
not.
That may not be happening.
You also have a really cool singing project, music project. Give a shout out to that because it's a really cool thing.
Well, it will just be done actually by the time this releases, but I did just
rage.
Get done working on Happy Human Music Project with Sean Rainey and Nisha. Married couple that have a kids, well, it's not all kids, but they have a music school. And then at the end of every year, they hire professional musicians and background singers to come and perform with the kids. And it's always, I look forward to it every year. And I got to sing Highway to Hell by AC/DC.
Yeah!
So I always get to do fun stuff. Yeah, I just scream. I just scream.
You go full
and hope
Angus.
That I hit the
yeah.
notes.
Go full Angus. Jesus.
Nice. Love it. Love it. Cool. Yeah, we'll keep you updated. We got a few more weeks of this. This is our first Fringe Blast. We're going to try and do at least three more, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, and I think we'll try and do a couple of our live very short
Man on the Street
10-minute ones.
Yeah, we got to do that again. That
yeah,
was fun.
I've got everything put together. I think I remember how we did it last
year.
I have all the notes written down still.
But we'll definitely do that, yeah.
We'll make it work. Okay, and then the opening night party's coming up. I think that's what night?
Wednesday
the 7th.
Yeah.
Oh, so this will drop a couple days before. Get your tickets if you haven't yet and meet us at the party we will see you there. The opening
the
night party
room.
At the Bourbon Room.
At the Bourbon Room, which is radical. Mm-hmm. We'll all be there. And
I'm
going to
be debuting. I'm going to be debuting a new hat.
Well,
hey.
A new hat.
We love a new hat. Yeah. A new cap.
No, not a cap.
Oh.
Oh, no, something cooler and funkier.
So it's cowboy.
It's a bowler. No, it's not.
Hey,
I love a good bowler.
That'd be cool.
I love a good bowler too, but. I've worn enough bowlers in my time.
Yeah. Well, I think we should get out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely come see Fringe shows and see our shows.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. just come introduce yourself to us. If you're around Fringe and you recognize us, or we'd love to meet anybody who listens to this pod. It's
yeah.
Here.
Always
here.
Fun to meet listeners.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining us. Is that all we got? Thanks for joining us for this little Fringe Blast.
Pardon
we'll see you next week with CJ's pick, which we don't know yet.
TBD.
TBD.
But we'll find it and it'll be great and we'll talk about it. And then after that, we're covering Jesus Christ Superstar.
You know how I feel about that musical.
The live NBC show, though.
Yes.
And how I feel about Alice Cooper.
Correct. But we'll get into it. We'll get into it. And then Scott's pick is after that, but there's a Fringe Blast in between them. So we'll get there.
Mm-hmm.
But thanks for joining us. We'll fucking see you later.
Do you have questions or comments? You can reach out to us via email, Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Scott?
A big shout out to Ryan Thomas Johnson, who writes our theme song. Our theme song is better than your theme song.
Yeah.
Hashtag fact. He also writes all of our stingers, and he's great. And finally, to the great award-winning playwright, Carol Churchill, who writes every single one of our episodes and doesn't even know it. And one day, Carol Churchill, we're going to buy you a beer or some sort of cocktail.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. We love you, Carol Churchill. Subscribe, rate, review. I'm falling apart. Subscribe, rate, review. It really does help. And we'll see you guys at Fringe.
Yeah.
Yes.
Fringe.
Fringe.
Pick a road, pick a highway. Any road, it's going my way. Let's go. Live it up with no complicated philosophy. No college, no career, no kids, no fancy house, no. Let's go any road but the one we're on. No college, no career, no screaming kids, no mortgage. Driving anywhere, just driving straight into the dark. That's freedom.
Later, everybody.
The theater. Theater. To be or not to be. Theater.